Well, good morning. Good morning. Please turn in your Bibles to Psalms 32. Turn in your Bibles to Psalms 32 and just hold your place. It'll be a few minutes before we get there. Now, Dr. Hiles was my pastor for 25 years. And one of the things he would often say is he would try to pick out a word or a phrase for the day or the week or something like that. And it could be something random or just something he's been thinking about or something from his Bible verse. And so he would pick out a word or a phrase for the day, and you would either think about it again during the day or sometimes even the whole week. So just in case you did not pick out a word or a phrase for today, I'll let you borrow my phrase for today. And the phrase is, my sin. My sin. Would you say it with me? What's the phrase for today? My sin. Okay, and later you'll see why this is what this means. So, sorry I don't have time to tell you my whole testimony, but again, just let me introduce myself just a little bit. As I came to Hiles Anderson College right after I graduated from high school in 1976, and I was hired as a bus mechanic for the church just 3 days after I came to college. And I don't think I'd even had one class yet, but I was hired. I was right the first week of school, and they, like Brother Mitchell said, it was almost 49 years ago. So basically, my whole life, my whole job, my full-time job, my whole life has been working on buses, either for the church or for the college, and that's what I've done. I want to, again, she already stood, I'll have you introduce my wife, Lori, for you. We stand over, please. If you don't, I'll come and kiss you again. Okay. So in this very room right here, I asked her to marry me over 45 years ago, and she said yes, so this summer will be our 46th anniversary altogether, okay? When I came here to Hiles Anderson, I was 18 like most of you are, and now I'm in my 60s. So how many of you have grandparents that are in their 60s or maybe a little older? That's most, okay, good. So how many of you had parents that came to Hiles Anderson College? Wow, a lot of them, okay. So I have literally sat in the same room with your parents, and most likely it probably was before you were born. And so as far as talking about your grandparents now, would you allow me to be your adopted grandfather for the next half hour? I don't want to take their place, but I just want to give you some things to think about. Would you allow me to talk personally to you? I sat where you're sitting now. Would you be willing to listen, to not talk to your friends, put down your phone or anything else that's distracting, and just listen as you would if your grandfather was talking directly to you? That's what I want to do today. And so one of my favorite things to do is to tell stories. And I can see a biblical truth in almost every story. I like to tell the stories and try to make you feel like you were actually there. And that's one of the things I'm going to try today too. So I'm going to tell you three true stories today. One of them happened several months ago. One of them happened 20 years ago. And one of them happened about 50 years ago. Now remember, I want to be your adopted grandfather just for the next half hour. I'm trying to talk directly to you. I have some stories for you. I want to help you. Are you listening? Very good, good. Okay, so the first true story happened several months ago at the Sam's Club. It's in Maryville, about 5 miles from here. So just try to picture this in your mind. When this story happened, I was really by myself. But for this story, let me take you with me. Pretend that you're with me. Imagine that you're going with your adopted grandfather to Sam's Club. And you know, if you're good, I might buy you a treat. Now, plus we like spending time together anyway. Okay, so we walk into Sam's Club, and we walk down to the chip aisle, because we're looking to buy some Fritos and cheddar and sour cream chips, because we know that Grandma likes those. And she's going to say that I like them too, but I mostly buy them for her. How's that? Okay. So as we're standing in the chip aisle, you know, looking at the chips, we see this lady with two kids sitting, you know, kind of looking at stuff. And let's just be kind and say this lady was a little extra large. Let's just be kind. And one of the things Dr. John R. Rice used to do is he used to say they were well upholstered. And let's just be kind and say this lady was 350 pounds plus, okay? Now, do you have that picture in your mind? Okay, so with her, she has two normal-looking kids, a boy and a girl, about 5 and 7 years old, okay? So we're just standing, pretend you're standing there with me, you know, looking at the chips, and this lady's standing there also, you know, looking on the other side. And what she does is Sam's Club has these great big things of animal crackers here, okay? You know, you like, okay, you know, these, okay. So here's what this lady does, okay? You gotta listen. Pretend that you're there with me, okay? So the lady unscrews the top. She rips the paper open. She takes a really big handful and gives it to the boy. Then she takes a really big handful and gives it to the girl. And then she takes an extra big handful for herself. And then she screws the top back on and sets it back on the shelf. Okay? Just pretend you're standing there with me watching this. And I'm starting to get mad. And pretend you're with me. How would you feel? You'd be mad, okay? In my head, I hear Brother Wilkerson saying, "See a need, take the lead." Now, if you ever heard him say that or not. So I walk over to this extra large lady, and I just go, "I don't think so." And she goes, "What?" Kind of like that. So normally your adopted grandfather is not like this, but this lady made him really mad. So I say to her, "Look up. Do you know that there are cameras everywhere recording here?" I got on my phone and I just went, "Recording, zone 5, just like that. And I'm just making this up as I go along. Okay? So I tell the lady, "What are you trying to teach your kids? Do you see the cameras up there? Did you know that Sam's Club security has facial recognition? And for the next 5 years, we have this called in now, and you are labeled a potential shoplifter. The computer is going to remember your face." And again, I'm making all this up. And I'm saying, "Now, I'm sorry, but Sam's Club and Walmart are together in their security system. For the next 5 years, wherever you go to any Walmart or Sam's Club, whether it's in California or Florida or New York or Maryville, as soon as you get out of the car, the cameras that are going to go around, they're going to zoom on you and they're going to put a thing above your name that says potential shoplifter. And when you walk around the store, those cameras follow you like a hawk." And again, I'm just making all this up. I don't think they do that, but I don't know. Then I said to this lady, I said, "Now, Sam's Club and Walmart are really cracking down on shoplifters, and they're following you around right now. Here's the way it's going to work. If you take those animal crackers and put it in your cart and actually pay for it today, then we're good for today. But if like after you don't see me, if you take these and you just set them on a shelf somewhere and you walk out, all this is going to be recorded, and you're down for a shoplifter. Now, the next time, if you don't get caught this time, you're already on the facial recognition. They've already got you. So the next time you steal, when you get caught, you're going to get charged for this and for that, too." And again, I'm just making all this up. And I said, "No, I'm sorry. I'm just doing my job." And I was wearing my work clothes. And I looked at the lady directly in the eye, and I said, "When you get caught shoplifting and go to jail, who's going to give your kids animal crackers then?" And the lady kind of, "Ooh, I didn't think of that." And I said, "Now, are you sorry for what you did?" And she nodded yes. I said, "Tell your kids what you did and that you're sorry." And she goes, "Oh, okay." And she did. And I said, "Tell your kids what happens if you get caught stealing." She did, and she says, "People that shoplift go to jail." And I said, "Now tell your," I told her kids, I said, "Now can you tell your kids in the future," talking to the kids, I said, "if you ever see your mom doing this again, can you help her? Can you tell her, 'Mom, I don't want you to go to jail'?" And both the kids said, "Yeah, okay, I'll do that." So finally I said to the lady, I said, "I'm sorry, I hated to do this. I'm just trying to help you. So you're still here to raise your kids. Again, just remember, for the next 5 years, any place that you're at, in Sam's Club, as soon as you walk out of the car, the cameras are following you around everywhere." And I said, now, you may not realize it right now, but this may be the best thing that's ever happened to you. This could keep you out of jail. This could keep your kids out of the jail. This could save you lots of grief and heartache in the future. And then I made up a few more things. I said, now, the security system is not complete yet, and they're not going to make it public, but I heard that they're like Target and Myers and all these other big stores, they're going to start using the same security system. So if you get caught shoplifting at Target, it's all going to be together. So you're going to get charged for Target, shoplifting, and Walmart, and, you know, and in Myers, and any other store. And again, I'm just making all this up. But then I finally said, now, are we good? And she said, yeah, thank you. So imagine after all that, your adopted grandfather bought you a treat, because you behave very well. We brought our chips, and we went home to see Grandma, okay, and everything was good. You and I even gave each other a high five as we walked out of Walmart. And you were proud of me, and I was proud of you. And now, can you just picture in your mind again, whenever Brother Wilkerson says, see a need, take the lead, now you know one of the things you can do, okay? So how do you get a spiritual lesson out of that story? So we're going to turn to Psalms 32:5. So Daniel, I'll have you go ahead and do that. Psalms 32:5. Now I'm going to have you read this with me, but after each line I'm going to tell you to stop, okay? So just read the first line. Let me back up. I forgot one thing that's kind of important about this. So after all of this was the next day after I woke up, after doing the see the need, take the lead. In the morning, I'm reading my Bible, I tried to do and supposed to do. And this is the verses that I came to, okay? And so that, again, the next day after all this happened, I'm reading my Bible. I came to Psalms 32:5. So go ahead and read the first line with me. I have acknowledged my sin unto thee. Stop. Notice the words, my sin. That's the title of the sermon, and that's also your word or a phrase to think about today. I'll read the other, and we'll read the second line. And my iniquity have I not hid. Stop. Just think about that for a second. Read the third line. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Stop. Now read the last. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Yeah, and it does say seal it too. Actually, I didn't put that up there, sorry. So when I first read those first words, it hit me like a hammer. Like, what about my sin? Did I try to witness to that lady? Did I give that lady a track? Did I invite her to friend day? Did I even care about her soul at all? Sure, she was in the process of shoplifting, and that is sin. But is my sin any better than her sin? I know how mad I felt when I saw that lady open those animal crackers, and I wondered, how does God feel about my sin? Does he feel the same anger, the same, what does he think about me? And again, you've heard Brother Wilkerson talk about it several times, and he just says, what's the answer? He says, to admit it and quit it. Now remember, I still have some time left today to be your adopted grandfather. Forget about the person sitting next to you. I'm trying to talk directly to you. I'm trying to help you. Now, I don't know what it is, and I don't want you to raise your hand or say anything out loud, but is there anything right now that's coming to your mind? Is there anything that you need to think about, maybe, and change? Is my sin better than your sin? Is your sin better than my sin? When are you going to take responsibility for our sin? Did you stop and tell God yesterday that you were sorry for your sins and confess any of them? Just like it says up there, I will confess my sins. Did you stop and tell God last week at any time that you were sorry for your sins and you confess any of them? And I will be the first to admit that maybe I've gotten a little lax in this area too. So I'm preaching and telling this story just as much to me as I am to you. But what is your attitude about your sin? What is the attitude about my sin? Okay, so I have to hurry. I have two more stories to go. So are you enjoying the time with your adopted grandfather so far? Do you like stories? I hate to tell you a good story and then kind of stick a knife in you, but that's kind of the way I work a lot of times, okay? Okay, so here's the next story. This one actually happened. It's a whole different story, whole different time. This actually happened about 20 years ago. And it happened with Ray Young. How many know Ray Young, Brother Ray Young? Okay, this, if you know him, and this also will show you that even you know, leaders and stuff, even they can change, and you know, and when and you'll see in a minute. So this is a true story that happened. So Brother Ray would often go to the airport and out to preach and stuff, and he would have about 10 people on a list that would take him to the airport and, you know, either pick him up or take him over whenever. And I was one of the people on the list. And so Brother Ray was my direct boss for about 25 years. And when you work with somebody for that long, you really get to know them, and actually they get to know you pretty good too. Well, one day he got a newer car, Brother Ray got a newer car, and he brought it to me in the bus shop and asked if I could help him with something. And I said, sure. And he said, there's this dumb dinger thing that just keeps going ding, 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 ding. And when he it does it when he doesn't have his seatbelt on, and he says it really bothers him. And so I asked him, is it broke or is it just trying to do its job? And he says, well, it's not broke, but at the time he did not feel that he needed to wear his seatbelt. And what he said that dinger thing was bothering him, and he just asked if there was any way I could unhook it. And I really didn't want to, but because he was my boss, I did look under the dash, and there was this little box thing that you could unplug, and that made the dinger thing go away, so it didn't do it anymore. Okay, you got that picture in your mind again, pretending that you're with me here, okay? So about 3 years after that, he got another car. And he brought it to me and said, this new car is doing the same thing. It's going ding, 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 ding. And I felt like going, surprise, you know, that's kind of what it's there for, you know. And it was Brother Ray, so I didn't want to say that to him anyway, you know. So he asked me if I could unhook it like I did the first car. And again, I really didn't want to, but he said, at least I will look. So I looked under the dash. And there was, on this one, the little box thing is soldered right into the main computer of the car. It's all into the circuit board. And I told Brother Ray, sorry, you're going to have to live with this dinging, because if I unsolder this thing, most likely your car won't even work. And so this is where you're, you know, as my adopted grandkids, this is where you get to use your imagination again, okay? So pretend that you're coming with Brother Young and me on a trip to the airport, okay? You're sitting quietly in the back seat, and you're just watching and listening. Okay, you got that? So normally when we go to the airport, I would drive and Brother Ray would just sit in the front seat and do paperwork. But every once in a while, he would want to drive, so I would just sit in the passenger seat, and then he would drive, and then we get to the airport, I would just drive his empty car back. And that's what he wanted to do this time. So pretend you're standing out by the bus garage and Brother Ray drives up, and I get in and you get in the back seat, and I put on my seatbelt, and imagine you're putting on your seatbelt too, so go ahead and pretend you're putting your seatbelt on, okay, good. It's exactly what I want, good, okay. And as soon as we pulled away, I noticed that Brother Ray did not put his seatbelt on. So when we're getting ready to turn on Burst Street, the thing on the car just goes, ding, 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 ding. And so we turn on Highway 30 and go on. You know, we've turned to Highway 30, head towards the airport, kind of going past where the cemetery is. And again, the car goes, ding, 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 ding. And I could tell that Brother Ray wanted me to say something like, you know, why don't you put your seatbelt on? But I wasn't going to say anything. I'm just being quiet, and he's being quiet. So we go a few more miles, and ding, 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 ding. We get to like where 41 and 30, where Walmart is. And the thing's going, you know, it would ding and then stop, you know, ding, 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 ding. And just imagine, for this story, just imagine you and I make contact with each other and just kind of nod, like, yeah, you don't have a seatbelt on, you know, okay? So we're about halfway to Dyer, and this bothersome dinging finally stops. And Brother Ray looks at me proudly and says, I got it figured out. It dings at you 10 times, and then it stops. And I would not advise saying this to your boss unless you have a very good relationship to him. And I said, you know, Brother Ray, that's exactly what God does to you. Instead of going the ding, 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 God goes sin, 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 sin. And then, you know what, Brother Ray, I think what, you know, so I said, and it just kind of came out. I really didn't even have it planned or anything, you know, and I could, you know, and Brother Ray, it's exactly what God does. He goes sin, sin, sin. And then God waits a little bit, when it says sin, 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 you just go, I don't care. You know, I can ignore that just as much as I can ignore the ding, ding, ding. And so about 10 times go by, and then God finally says, you know what? Go ahead and kill yourself. I don't care. You know it's the law. You just don't think it applies to you. And then I would not normally recommend doing this to your boss, but this is exactly what I said. I said, what other laws do you think you can disobey? How about the speed limit? Does that apply to you? How about needing a driver's license? Does that apply to you? How about car insurance? Does that apply to you? And this was the best one. How many of the Ten Commandments you feel don't apply to you either? Yeah, okay. So imagine you're sitting in the back seat. You're watching him closely. Brother Ray doesn't say a word. His face turns very red. He just reaches over, grabs a seatbelt, and puts a seatbelt on. Okay? So almost 20 years have passed, and we've never even really brought it up, but I called him the other day and asked if it was okay to tell this story in chapel. And first when I called him, he was driving, and he said, you'd be very proud of me. He says, right now I'm actually talking on my Bluetooth, so I'm hands-free like I'm supposed to be, and I have my seatbelt on, and I've worn it ever since you got me with that, you know. Okay. Okay, so you like that story? Okay. Now are you ready to get stabbed with it? Okay. So if I was sitting right next to you, talking to you, your grandfather, your adopted grandfather is telling you a story, I would say, what do you see in this story that applies to me? You know, is I would tell you how it applies to me. I would say, what is it in my life today that God is going, sin, sin, sin? If God is not saying it, has not stopped saying it yet, that's a good thing. He's still trying to give us a chance to admit it and quit it. I would say, what other rules and other laws do I feel I don't have to obey because they don't apply to me? I would say, is there anything coming to your mind right now? Whatever it is, maybe that's what God's trying to just put in your mind and say, is there anything in your life that God is going, sin, 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 to you? Just thinking about it. He just, you know, again, this can really help. Again, I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to be mean. You know, the Bible has the answer again. Like Psalms 32:5 just says, I have acknowledged my sin unto thee. My iniquity have I not hid. I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Admit it and quit it. So what's the phrase for today? My sin. Okay, so how are my adopted grandkids doing? Do you want to hear one more story? Okay. So this, I can tell if I'm not careful, I'm going to really run out of time, so I got to go a little bit fast. But there's two verses that go perfect with this story. So Daniel, first we have you do the Jeremiah 5:26. So we'll read this together. I'm not going to say stop on this one, it's okay. For among my people are found wicked men, they lay wait, and he that set his snares, they set us a trap, they catch men. In a minute, you'll see how this applies. So Dan, you go ahead and do the 1 Peter 5:8. We'll read this together. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, the roaring lion, walketh about, seeking who he may devour. Okay, so this last story happened 50 years ago, so most likely it was before you were born. There are some people maybe around that were born then, but okay. But just try to imagine this in your mind, like you're doing very good, very proud of you. My adopted grandkids are doing very well. But this is a true story again. So I attended a public high school in the 1970s. The Vietnam War was still going on. Lots of guys had hairs down to their shoulders. I had hair and still had a decent haircut, so I'll show you my, this is one of my high school scenes. This was one of my high school senior pictures, you know. Okay, and then, okay, you can take that off. But the drugs in my school were everywhere, and I would guess about 75% of the kids in my high school smoked cigarettes. And life was a lot different back then. And that was before they started putting the warning on the cigarette packages where it says dangerous cigarettes may be a hazard to your health. And it was very accepted in society everywhere to smoke. And it was just kind of a sign of being cool and grown up. And people under 18 really weren't supposed to smoke, but they had a cigarette machine in our high school next to the pop and the candy machine. And marijuana was illegal like it should be now, but my guess, 20 to 25% of the kids at least smoked marijuana at least every once in a while. And Our school had about 800 kids, and it was a school policy that you couldn't smoke on school property, but you could go across the road to the parking lot of the Catholic Church, and it was fine to smoke if you weren't on school property. So every day, there, between classes, there'd be at least 50 kids out there smoking. And our school had a student council that would meet with the administration, and for some reason, the administration usually gave in to their demands. And when I was a junior in high school, one of their demands was, it's very unfair when it's cold outside to make the poor kids have to stand across the road in the Catholic Church parking lot and smoke their cigarettes in there, or their marijuana, because the weather is freezing in Michigan, and you are being so unfair to these poor kids if you're making them smoke outside. So I don't know who decided this, but what they decided to do is take one of the set of restrooms that was near the band room, and since it was hardly ever used anyway, they turned both the boys' and girls' rooms, you know, into smoking allowed restrooms. So if you were going to smoke, if it was cold, you know, you at least had to go to those bathrooms that hardly got used. But then what else they did, the student council did, is they got permission for kids to smoke in the lunchroom during lunch hour. So the school provided ashtrays. Every table had an ashtray on it. And so you'd go in there, and there'd be literally dozens of kids smoking, and it got so bad you couldn't even hardly breathe or anything. So one of the things that I asked, they said, do I have to eat in the lunchroom, or can I go somewhere else? So right outside of the lunchroom, just a little ways down, there was a short hallway. Make sure I get the right page here in a second. There was a short hallway, and we would go down to eat our lunch there. And so can you picture this in your mind? All these kids are smoking in the lunchroom, you know, and you can't even breathe in there. So me and like five or six of my friends went down to what we called the short hallway, and we would just eat our lunch there. So you got that picture in your mind? Okay. And so one of the things we would do is we would eat lunch together every day. So I want you to picture this in your mind. Pretend that you're one of my friends, and you're standing, or we're eating lunch every day at the end of the short hallway. So even if you're a girl, don't be shy. You're very welcome to come. You wouldn't be alone. We have five or six high school friends eating their lunch every day. Okay, and so the story of this. Hopefully, this will be a story you can remember. And like I tell, I'm going to run out of time, so I have to go fast. But believe it or not, this story involves lots of milk cartons. Okay. We'll put these animal crackers down here. Now, one of the good things I have in my notes I didn't say yet is I've already talked to the dining hall, and today you get to have some of these animal crackers for lunch, for snacks, okay? Okay. So as far as milk cartons, you know, milk cartons like this, you know, what can you do with milk cartons? And I have a whole bunch of them. Now, some of the things you could do with milk cartons is like one of the things you could put milk in them, I suppose. That'd be a good thing to do with milk cartons. What one of the things you could do with a milk carton is you could just put it down. You could kick it, you know. And see, all right, go. Okay, you know. And well, kind of. You know. Another thing you could do with milk cartons is maybe if you were good, you could try juggling them. But I would not do very good that. And you could put dirt in a milk carton, and you know, if you want, they make targets. If you want to use a gun, they make good targets. And you could put dirt in and grow flowers. There's all kinds of things you can do with a milk carton. But one of the favorite things to do is to stomp on a milk carton. Okay, now, so picture in your mind. Here's what we did. Well, I'm going to really run out of time if you're not careful. So don't keep bothering me. Okay. So here's what we would do every day. So picture this. You got five or six high school kids eating their lunch, and right outside the door of the short hallway is this little sidewalk, and that's where the junior high building is. So every day when we got done, we have all these milk cartons, and we say, what would be fun to do with this milk cartons? So you know what would be fun to do? It'd be fun. I got some over here. Not more over. These are more milk cartons over here. Now one thing just to make the story understand better. Back in the 70s, these milk cartons were actually made out of real cardboard. If you read this, it says 85% recycled cardboard, and these are almost worthless, at least to stomp on. But the ones that they used to have, when you stomped on, it was almost like as loud as a shotgun. It was great. But these ones just kind of go, you know, so these aren't that good, okay? But who would want to stop on milk cartons? So if I was the devil, if I was the devil, who would I want to get on stomp on milk cartons? So one thing I would do is I would pick somebody young. So we will pick you. You're probably the youngest one here. So pretend you're a college student or you're just somebody young, and pretend that somebody, some high school kid just sets them out like that. So just go ahead and stomp on those and see if, I don't know how good this is going to work. Oh, see? Oh, yeah, see? Yeah, okay. So if I was a devil, I would try to get somebody young to step on a milk carton, okay? If I was a devil, I would try to get one of my, a leader to step on a milk carton. So we'll let you try here. So wouldn't it be good if you could get a devil, all right, okay, good. And then really would be fun if you were the devil, you get somebody old to step on a milk carton. Okay. Okay, go on. Go ahead, yeah. Here, try this one. Try this one.
Help me out.
Okay.
You're tricking me.
No. Last one. Okay. Okay. So you're safe anyway. Okay. So here's what we did. We did this every day. We would set the milk cartons out for the junior high kids. So what we did, sometimes we would use different patterns. Sometimes we would put a big X. And as soon as the bell would ring for the junior high lunch, all the kids would come running out, and they would be stomping. And the kid that won the most was this big, fat, mean kid. He was a bully. He would knock other people down, and yeah, I'm going to stomp on the milk cartons. Just picture that in your mind, okay? So what we did every day, that's what we did. So I don't know what made me decide to do it. But one day I took a milk carton, and instead of opening it, I brought it to my house, and I just set it up in the attic of my garage. And I waited about 3 or 4 months, okay? And then one day when it was time, I brought the milk carton to school, and I even had it in a baggie because I didn't want it to get messed up or anything. And so what I did, we did study the kids. We knew the one they liked the best, the pattern, was a circle with one in the middle. So guess where I put the one with the sour milk in it? Right in the middle. And it was perfect. If they had YouTube then, I'd have over 10 million views on this thing. So just picture the bell rings, all these kids running out, the big fat kid wins, his girlfriend is right next to him. He had kind of a cute girlfriend that would stand with him. Every once in a while when the kid's standing on the milk carton, when he's stomping on it, the kid would just kind of go like, "Here, girl," for his girlfriend. So, and she would just always kind of lovingly, adoringly look at this, this big dumb kid. So here's what happened. Finally the big day came. We had the circle set up. We had the one in the middle. The kid comes out. There's 15 or 20 kids standing around, and the kid stomp, 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 stomp. And he comes to the last one, and when he stomped on it, it was just perfect. When he stomped on it, the milk came up like 5 or 6 feet. It was dripping off his hair and off his face and off his glasses. And the poor girl was standing right next to him, his girlfriend. She did nothing wrong, and she got almost as much stuff on her. And some of the other kids just standing by got the milk all over them. And it was just like, and I remember some of the kids just started, it was kind of sad, but the cute girlfriend even started crying a little bit. And I'm sorry, but then what we knew, then what we saw is the guy came, and he walked past us because we knew he was going to be going to the bathroom and to get cleaned up or to the restroom. So when he walked past us, you could literally see the fumes of the smell coming up off him. And he's walking, and when he walked past us, we were all start gagging. So we're following him, and he goes right to the closest bathroom, which just happened to be the smoking bathroom. And when he walked in there, it was like a skunk walked in. Just everybody comes running out and all that. And it's just, it was great. It was really good, okay? And so how in the world can you get a good illustration out of that and stuff like that? Well, actually, I got about 4 or 5 pages of notes. I'm going to have to really cut down here. Just a second. So basically, here's my life. If I was sitting next to you and I just told you that story, and I would say, that story is funny and everything like that, but what can I learn from that story? And the first thing I would say, I would tell you, if your adopted grandfather is next to you, I would say, I'm 3 times older than most of you, and I've seen a lot of people fall because they never knew that the devil was setting out a milk truck carton for them every day. They had no idea. They're just going through life, da-da-da-da-da, and they have no idea that there's an enemy, a devil, that's trying to attack you. And he's setting out milk cartons. And it might be something like a sign or just any different thing. It could be a whole bunch of things. I'm sorry, I'm running out of time. But the devil's smart. He studies you. I waited 3 or 4 months before I brought out that milk carton, and I studied them. I knew what pattern they like. And the devil wants to get you. He's doing the same thing to you. He does not give up. Okay, so you just have 3 quick points, and then I'm done. Main point number 1, if you were the devil, who would you go after? If I was the devil, I'd go after the young people. I'd go after the leaders. I'd go after the old people. That's who I'd go after, and you'd do the same thing. Main point number 2, your milk cartons do not only splash all over you, they also splash on those that are close to you. So when you fall, if you step on a milk carton, if you fall into sin, or you say, oh, this doesn't apply to me, if you're one to say, I don't care about the rules, they don't apply to me, when you finally step on the devil's milk carton, it not only gets over you, it gets all over everybody. Number 4, the last one. When you finally do step on a milk carton, first it will be embarrassing and stuff, but if you're still alive, it can be washed off. So no matter how bad that kid walked into the bathroom, it took him a long time, but he was able to wash off the milk carton and get it. So the title of my sermon today is My Sin. And so you've heard the story about the animal crackers. You've heard the story about the sin. And you've heard the story about the milk cartons. And sorry, I didn't get to complete everything for that. But hopefully something I said will catch you today, or just get you just thinking, what about my sin? What is the devil, or what is God trying to teach me today? And is there anything that you may need to make a decision on? Thank you very much.